Hello and welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about artist Amanda Connor. And you of course know my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
Hello.
And also joining us is someone who absolutely had to be here. We're talking about Amanda Connor, TV's Mr. Neil.
She's got legs.
That's not what everyone's looking at.
And
that's what I'm looking at.
And as always, we're going to start with the solicitations. So we got some Sherwood, Texas, which I'm not reading, but I know JT is.
Yeah, it's been a surprisingly decent, you know, reinvention of the Robin Hood mythos.
We have AC Comics with Femme Force, which Neil knows a little something about.
Yeah.
We have, let's see here, H.P. Lovecraft and Tesla, number one. Okay. No, let's move on. We have some Archie Comics. Archie Funhouse Jumbo Comics Digest, number 11. Let's look at the cover. It's not a beach scene. It's a snow scene. Okay.
Is it a sexy snow scene?
Not really. It's Archie with Betty and Veronica on, like, this giant snow tube bouncing off of a hill.
Oh, you know, Archie's hoping one of them falls to the opposite side that they're sitting. He's like, dear God, fall to the right, Veronica, fall to the right.
So we have some Avatar Press, nothing really interesting there. We got some Boom Studio with George Perez's Sirens. Love George Perez's artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We have some Teen Dog, really. We got some Danger Zone, and I already told that joke, so I'm not going to do it again, with one of JT's favorite titles, Zombie Tramp, number 5.
I can't help but love what I love.
Got some Dark Horse with Abe Sapien, number 18. Got some DC Comics, and moving on, we have some Dynamite Entertainment with some John Carter Mars Comics. We got some Lady Demon. You know, basically this stuff's like pulpy comic stuff. Well, Alice Cooper, Alice Cooper number 4, Neil.
Hmm. Well, actually I have no opinion on that because it's like, I don't understand like that sort of like cross-medium sort of thing. It's like, okay, Alice Cooper, you know, he's a recording artist. Why would I care about comics about him? It's like the Kiss comics. It's like, who?
But it has their blood.
You never read The Last Temptation, did you, Neil?
No, but that was a good album.
Yeah, the comics basically, they turn Alice Cooper is, in addition to being a rock star, is also this, you know, kind of Gaiman-esque Sandman type Lord of Nightmares deal. Mm-hmm. And with this new comic, they're just kind of going back to that for the purposes of the series. And it hasn't been half bad. I mean, it's not, you know, stellar, and I wouldn't recommend picking up the series, but if you ever wanted to check out the trade, that's, you know, it's okay. I mean, I'd wait for a trade. I've got it on my pull list. I'm just surprised that Dynamite spent the money to get all the Chaos Comics characters under their umbrella, because...
So, Neil, here's a title from IDW that I know is going to get an opinion out of you.
What's that?
I sent you the link.
Good.
Egg Extinction.
What?
Now, when you read that Age of Egg Extinction, are you reading it with the Vincent Price voice?
Excellent.
Exactly.
Does it hurt?
You want to vomit.
Okay,
it's Angry Birds Transformers, but it's also in the style of Transformers Animated.
And yeah, the way that they're standing almost fun. The way that they're standing almost reminds you of the cover of the movie.
Yeah, it does. It does have that homage-ness to it. Although, why they turned the toucan from the game, looking on the cover here, the boomerang toucan from Angry Birds into Grimlock, who then turns into a motorcycle.
Oh, it's Angry Birds. You don't think about it.
Sorry.
Okay, so we got some Popeye Classics. Popeye actually started as a strip called Thimble Theater. It was about the oil family. Basically, Olive Oil was the sister of the main character, Castor Oil. Yes, I know. Who's this character that always looks for these get-rich-quick schemes. You know, you got to remember this is a Depression-era comic. And what happened was they were going to seek out this treasure on an island, and they needed to rent a boat and a sea captain, and that's where Popeye first showed up. And for some reason, Popeye was just so widely popular with the readers that it became Popeye. And now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
So we got some Image Comics here with Bitch Planet, number one.
Well, that's a comic I'll have to remember not to read.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, I was like, bitch, please.
We're already on that planet, so let's move on. We got some Marvel Comics with pretty much the Axis event has pretty much stopped. We have Spider-Verse Comics. I actually read some Spider-Verse Comics this weekend, and I have to say the main Spider-Verse title is, you know, Dan Slott is writing it to be way too epic, and it doesn't feel real. But I actually think that the other tie-in comics are better written, like the Spider-Woman tie-in to Spider-Verse was better written. Plus, you have four Spider-Women in that comic, so that makes it worth reading. So,
I'm just looking over here. They're reprinting the Death of Wolverine, Deadpool, and Captain America one-shot, which was actually a lot of fun to read.
Ed McGuinness.
Well, it's just the cover.
Is he rocking the dragon still?
No, he's calm the F down in terms of rocking it.
Okay.
I mean, Deadpool still looks muscly, but, you know, what an average-sized muscly mercenary with a penchant for chimichangas and pornographic knock-knock jokes would look like, but...
So, moving on, we have some Oni Press. Nothing I'd really pick up there. We got, we got some Titan Comics with Star Wars Insiders number 154, not verified by Diamond. It's basically a fanzine. Got and JT's favorite at the end of the thing.
Zenoscope. a friend's girlfriend called me out on that. He says, like, I don't know why you don't like this. Like, have you seen the art? It's like, yes, I've seen the art. I'm just not one of those guys that says he reads it for the story. Because I wouldn't be able to, like, seriously, it's like I said, that and Terror Witch of the Black Rose, I'm not knocking, hey, it's got fans, that's great, good, more power to you. Just, if I know you, and you tell me you read either of those comics for the story, I will call you a liar, and I'll be right.
I know you.
But anyways, here's my thing about these comics is that I like sexy art, and this is just, I don't know, some girls think that, like, boobs and ass is automatically going to, like, draw male fans, and this is just not my cup of tea here.
Yeah, I'm all for the cheesecake. It's just, I've met guys who say they read this for because they're in, like, love, they love, like, the sexy horror stories, and I mean, that's great. But I've met so many more guys who say, I read it for the story. I was like, no, you don't. Don't ever speak to me in that tone of voice and tell me you read it for the story.
There is no story to read.
I mean, there's a story. It might not make a lick of sense, but there's still a story. I mean, I've tried to remember what the story of Sailor Moon was, but it's just all I come up with. Ditzy Blonde has superpowers that she barely knows how to use and is in love with a guy who likes to wear a domino mask and a tuxedo.
And the transformation is fun to watch.
Well, only if you watch the original Japanese version.
That's true.
There's just some extra lines. It's not really that much.
Sometimes less is more, Ben.
Okay. Anyways, that's it for the solicitations. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll have the topic of the show.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back to talk about the work and career of Amanda Conner. She's someone who's most known for her Power Girl run, which is actually really funny because that Power Girl run was actually rather short.
Mm-hmm.
This is the run that everyone sort of identifies with the character right now. It's also this run where people really identify with like the dynamics of what Power Girl's life and relationships are supposed to be like. And again, like I said, it's actually relatively short in which how it went because it was only a 12 issues. And this is also the series that had Power Girl teamed up with
Atlee.
Yes.
The greatest Terra of them all.
Yes.
Visually, anyway.
Yes. And again, this is a case where this relatively short series defines so much of who Power Girl is in the social consciousness that, it's almost like the rest of the world is trying to, capture that lightning in the bottle with the Power Girl character again and failing. Because after this event, after this run, there were several DC universe-changing events where they got rid of the costume, changed her backstory again. I mean, a whole bunch of bullshit like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about her actual work. She actually, went to the Kubert School in New Jersey. I actually almost went to the Kubert School as well, but my dad told me, Ben, you don't want to live in New Jersey. It's a toxic waste jump. I'm like, all of New Jersey? And my dad said, all of New Jersey. So I did not go to New Jersey. But, like I said, she actually has quite a good career. It's, The Adventures of Bayou Billy for Archie Comics.
That was her?
Yes.
I did not know that. Wow.
She did a couple of issues of Marvel's Gargoyles. She did some Painkiller Jane versus comics. She actually did a Lois Lane title in the 90s. Wow, that must have been nice. I didn't know she did Birds of Prey. I was actually, I thought that was pretty much all Ed Benes. What?
That was the longest running Birds of Prey series.
Yes.
That was like the original run, wasn't it?
Yeah. Neil, who would you rather have draw Birds of Prey? Ed Benes or Amanda Conner?
Ooh. I don't know. I kind of like Amanda Conner.
as much as I love Amanda Conner, I loved Joe Bennett's run on the series.
Over Ed Benes?
I love Ed Benes too, but I like Joe Bennett's style because it's more of like just a good solid I think it's the best thing I can say. It's just got a nice solid feel to the artwork. You know, it's not a lot out of place. As much as I love Ed Benes, it's a little too anime sometimes.
Well, the thing is I usually love most of anything that Amanda Connor does, but there was this one title she did that was a creator-owned title called The Pro, which I did not enjoy. The Pro is one of those cases of, you know,
we're making what if a prostitute had superpowers?
Yes. Well, that's why it's called The Pro. And it's, I did not enjoy it. I'm sorry to say this because I love Amanda Connor's work. I love the way that she draws things, but the Pro was just really, really crass. Because you have this, like, hyper kiddified world of superheroes. It's like The Tick, but then you have a prostitute as a superhero show up.
And then she gives Superman a beach.
And, yeah, that's it was a hand job, actually, but that's beside the point. And like I said, that's sort of the problem I had with the Pro, because it was trying to be crass just to be crass without, you know, being fun with it either. It was just like, you know, haha, I showed up in your living room and dumped a dead body on the table. Boy, that'll be hard to explain.
You thought that was more crass than her tracking down the John that stiffed her on $20, and then there's that parade of sex workers who were lined up waiting for their revenge.
I just thought that was a book that really I could have gone without reading in my life. But well, moving on, you know, we're working up to the series that she's most known for, the Power Girl series, because whenever Amanda Connor is invited to show up somewhere, invited to do art for something, it's to draw Power Girl.
Well, if it's in DC.
Well, what I mean is, like, when I saw her at the Dallas Comic Con, she did a promotional art for them, and the promotional art was Power Girl. Big posters of Amanda Connor's Power Girl everywhere. That's where I met her. I got her autograph. I bought one of her art books. And, you know, she was pressed for time, so she could not take commissions there. If she was, I would have totally had her draw Power Girl, but but that's the tough luck. And again, like I said, the thing is the Power Girl series is, this is the one that really defines Power Girl to the modern audience, because here you have, you introduce the idea, you know, Karen Starr, and is her alternate identity, and you have the idea that her friend Atlee, the new Terra, is you know, trying to, like, figure out how to live on Earth, and she comes up with, she's from down under, so she decides to speak with an Australian accent, and and then she decides that her secret identity is she's a secret agent. It's really funny stuff like that, where, because Atlee is just has this naivete about the surface world. You know, she decides that she because she's from down under, she's from an underground colony, and she disguises that she wants her secret identity to be a secret agent. I mean, this is the kind of funny humor that you sort of miss in comics, where you have a character that just is funny. And
I mean, that they really establish, like, personality is this very, I hesitate, I don't want to really use the statement that she's one of the guys, but she has this varying, outgoing, kind of gregarious personality. You know, she doesn't take a lot of crap. You know, she knows what she wants, she goes for it. Like, you know, it's a powerfully confident woman. I mean, I think a lot of people like that about the character. And they never, like, at least in the Amanda Connor series, they never mention anything about, or they very rarely bring up the whole power, Superman's cousin from an alternate Earth or any of that BS like that.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Everyone else is too worried about what her origin is and trying to make sense of it. But this is the run where they're like, that doesn't matter. She's here now. How is she living now?
Well, yeah. She's, sorry, you go, Neil.
I said that's kind of an attitude that I've adopted, because I don't really care for origin stories either. I just go for the character writing, and I'm really pleased that there's someone out there who does that.
Yes, and the funny things is the stuff that that Karen Starr, Power Girl, the things that she does for her secret identity, because she decides, okay, I need to have a pet. So she buys this orange cat. And there's this scene where she's thinking, what should I name this thing? And she's going, should I name it, you know, Smelly or Stinky or Streaky? I'm going to go with Smelly, which is a joke, because in pre-crisis Superman continuity, there was a super cat named Streaky. And, okay, I thought it was funny.
No, it was good. It's just, I was just thinking something of it. Not one of my favorite. One of the things I love the most about Amanda Conner's art is, well, the faces and the fact that it's kind of like kind of the same thing I love about Dave Cockrum's X-Men is it has this almost animated feel to it. You know, with the very expressive eyes and the very, you know, bright colors and such like that. I've always enjoyed something like that. And there was, I think it was in the Wednesday comics, is when you look at her bibliography here, she, okay, no, it was probably that exact Supergirl issue, a Supergirl number, volume 5, number 12, where in that Supergirl series, for some reason, Owen Mercer, the illegitimate son of Captain Boomerang, was like her roommate or something. And yes, that is the image Ben just showed here.
Yes. I love that was image.
The Power Girl, you know, sketch she Amanda Conner did at a convention where Power Girl's sitting there and Supergirl's looking down her shirt with this just like, what the hell? Because she's not nearly the size of Power Girl yet. But in the Supergirl comic, it's just is something about the way she does her smiles when in a lot of characters is probably like one of my favorite thing about Amanda Conner's art is the way she does smiles, because they're always very wide and, you know, and depending on how you do the eyebrows on a character, it can have that, oh, this is awesome, or it's like, how you doing? And that's the best thing about her. She has this expressiveness in her art.
Yeah, I believe that's called a parenthetical expression, whereas there are like tons of different kinds of smiles and different kinds of frowns and all sorts of things. And what I see in other comic artists, like professionals, is that you have all these like really technical artists out there, but they draw a face and it's like a derp face every time. And
yes,
so I'm not really a big comic fan, but Amanda Conner actually does facial expressions, real expressions, and that is such a refreshing thing to see.
And the thing they remember is you know, Power Girl in the comics continuity, you know, prior to the Amanda Conner run, has like this reputation of being like this hot-headed, loud-mouthed, you know, loose cannon, and you know, that's just how everyone treated her. And the first time you ever get any sort of like depth to her is Amanda Conner. You know, she's not writing it, but it is the run where Amanda Conner's doing the art, because all of a sudden you get. Because you learn more about her just by seeing the day-to-day stuff versus, well, it's because, you know, 33 years ago when the Krypton exploded, da, 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 you don't get any of that expiratory bullshit.
Yeah. No, it's, and I know there's, when it, like, you know, just going back to the preface, like, I don't think I would have enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the Pro. I didn't love the Pro. And I don't think I would have enjoyed that story nearly as much if it hadn't been Amanda Conner on art. Like, there's really, because like you said, it's not that I personally find it disgusting. It's just like, you know, there's been worse stories in comic books, but it's just something about the fact that, you know, it softened the blow. Because like I said, she has this kind of very energetic style in her art, like very animated, and that kind of sold the story for me. That and the fact that her kid grows up to be the new Superman of that world by the end of it, and the Pro gets her superpowers from a cosmic peeping Tom that is not at all a reflection of Uatu the Watcher. Because that would be wrong.
Again, you know, back to the Power Girl run. I mean, you know, this is the run that also reintroduces a classic DC supervillain, the Ultra Humanite. And also, you know, the thing to keep in mind is, you know, Power Girl decides to, she's living in Manhattan in this story. And this is the story where we also establish, you know, she's working at Star Labs, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Something like that.
And so she has this office job. And, you know, the whole thing is, this is almost like her first attempt to have the whole secret identity thing going down. So she's like trying to decide what her secret identity is and what she's going to do with it and what she's going to be. And, you know, am I going to have a pet cat or, you know, stuff like that. So she picks this apartment and there's this whole subplot where one of her neighbors, like this boy, this teenage boy, finds out that she's Power Girl and tries to bribe her with photographic evidence that he has of her. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Because they had that great cover where
she's with me, guys.
Yeah, they're walking to the comic store and he's just got this, just the smuggest look you could possibly draw on a young boy, and in the background, Power Girl is just like, jeez.
What was your favorite moment in that run, JT?
You know, with the Power Girl run, I'm just taking a look here. That I had pulled this picture up before. I don't know what issue it was.
Uh-huh.
Is this one where she was chasing her cat? Or no, I think it was the boy one.
She's chasing the boy out the door when he slips the photos underneath her door, and
yeah, and she's just wearing nothing but a. And then they have that thing where she, you know, Connor puts like the leaves from the carrots or Brock in her, you know, the twins, and then she steals like the guy's
French
loaf and the Jiffy Pop to cover herself up, and she's like, "Sorry, Mr. Paul, I'll get these back to you right away." And he's like, "Please, no apologies." But that's probably my favorite, that issue with the whole blackmail thing. It was my favorite one in there. But one of my favorite Wonder Girl moments,
Power Girl,
favorite Power Girl moments came from JSA Classified number 1. Is this issue where Dr. Midnight's giving her a medical exam, you're just checking her out, and it has this awesome, I forget what page it was exactly, but it's this one image where she's sitting there, hands on the hips, with this look on her face, and she's like, "Tell me what I'm missing." Because, you know, Dr. Midnight's trying to figure out why her powers are in flux, and you see him sweating. He's like, I'm good here. I have to run some tests. But no, it's like, became more about Power Girl than Amanda Connor here at some point. But no, it's just, I think it's just a lot of things. The reason everyone goes back to this 12-issue run of Amanda Connor is just that there was so much passion she had for this character. And just, she put a lot of fun into Power Girl too. Because even before this, they kind of revamped her so she wasn't quite hot-headed, but they still had her that whole playful thing where she's like, got like this rivalry with Wildcat and JSA and all that. But in here, it was serious superhero fun, but it was tempered with a lot of everyday life humor.
Which I think a lot of comics is missing nowadays.
Well, yeah. But I mean, it's just, how Amanda brought in characters like, you know, Satana from the Hawkman title, and she brought back Vartox, who's basically like that guy in the bar who's like, "Oh yeah, every woman here wants me," and really doesn't, except this guy has superpowers now, and is just one of the most retarded characters I've ever seen in comic books, and yet somehow they made it work for this title. I don't know. I mean, what about you, Neil? What's some of your favorite Power Girl moments in this series?
Well, I'm not. I haven't like really read as much of the run as you guys have. I'm mostly here to comment on the art itself, because I'm really a big fan of her art.
Was there any specific pieces that Amanda Connor's done that you like?
Just nothing that I have pulled up at the moment.
Oh, great. This image that Ben's just shown to folks, is this the one where the nerds from Big Bang Theory show up in the theater? Because I think this is. It is, isn't it?
Actually, here's another great moment. Oh, the classic punch.
Yes.
Oh, God, she did not just freeze that. Oh, God, she did freeze it, didn't she?
What do you think?
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually when you have Amanda Connor doing the art, you have to have some double entendres in the story as well. It's just a requirement.
Yeah.
So, let's see here.
See, the other thing, and I was talking to Ben of all the globes. I love how she's just like, all business, all business, all business. Stop staring at me there. All business, all business. And there's this other one. I was telling Ben about this before, and see what you think about this one, Neil. It's the cover for the collection of these Jimmy Olsen backup stories from, I think it was like Action Comics prior to, I think it was just prior to Flashpoint and the New 52, which is basically, the stories are kind of hearkening back to the wacky adventures that Jimmy Olsen would get up to in the 1950s. And I don't think they really put these stories out there other than the fact that they were trying to introduce Chloe Sullivan into the DC Universe canon.
Mm-hmm. The character but from just, Smallville.
Yeah. Because, well, she's still Lois Lane's cousin. But I was just wondering what you thought about the color with the, geez, why me sort of thing that she went for here.
Yeah, see, that's what I was talking about. Like, the way she just does expressions like that, it's stuff that I don't really see in a lot of other artists.
Well, like, go ahead, Neil.
I was just going to say, I wish I had as much Amanda Connor stuff as I have, like, Adam Warren, because she's easily, like, in the same league.
Just when it comes to expressions like that?
She says that her two favorite things to draw are facial expressions and body language.
Yeah.
And lots of artists say that those are their two least favorite things to draw.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of them suck.
There's no other way to put it. Just, they suck.
Well, I wish there are a lot of technical artists, and I wish that they would kind of, I wish that those types of artists could kind of be teamed up with an artist who like would draw more characterized art like this, you know, instead of, like I said, the derp faces that I see in like a lot of comics. And the reason why I don't read a lot of comics.
Turner?
Yeah.
Same face.
Yeah, the same face. Or like, what's that? What's the guy who like would just blatantly trace porn? I mean, that guy's like the worst.
I know the name. I just can't.
Yeah, I'm kind of blanking on it. It's like the guy who like doesn't know how to draw faces. So he just like traces, and I would be okay with him like tracing if he was just doing it for practice, but he doesn't seem he first of all, he uses it for like professional work, and then second, he doesn't seem to learn anything from it.
Yeah.
No, it's what was I thinking about? No, I can't remember what I was going to talk about. Talk amongst yourselves for a second.
All right. And then you have like certain artists who like they don't know how to get information across without like just having loads of dialogue bubbles, and that drives me crazy, because like for all the like text dumping you could just draw a face that like would pretty much communicate the same thing. I mean, I love the faces where like you could tell what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, that's like the whole thing. It's just everyone seems to have like these stock, you know, stock images, or just not images, but just they've got like a preferred way to draw faces. So outside of how open or closed the mouth is, there's almost no variation between the different expressions sometimes. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to, you know, one of the things I like about it, how she puts that effort in and to make every time you see a face in a comic that Amanda Conner draws, it's different. Even if maybe it's the same expression for two or three panels, there's always a little something different.
Yeah. You know, you could do subtlety and sarcasm that way. You could have a character say one thing and then have the face obviously contradict it so that you could tell that they don't mean what they say. Yeah. And a lot of the other artists just can't do that because they don't really know how to do subtle things with the face.
Yes.
Yeah, subtlety is dead.
I mean, a good example of this is there's a couple of panels where it shows where Amanda Conner drew Power Girl eating, and you get the there's quite the gamut of expression here.
Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, this doesn't look half bad. Gonna try and enjoy this. What the hell are you doing? Oh my god, I just almost ate a living thing.
Yeah, see, you're filling in dialogue when there isn't any.
Yes. But that's I'm just saying, like, to describe, like, the
yeah,
you know, when he put this image here, but I mean, it's like, and that's, you can fill in the dialogue, like, reading this without having someone to explain to you what's going on because of the variations of, you know, the eyebrows and just how everything, how her, the, you know, the tilt of her head and all that. And again, like, there's been some, I wouldn't say graphic stories, but there's been, like, you look at some of the Painkiller Jane stuff that Amanda Conner has done, and that's basically a female Punisher with Wolverine's healing factor. But, you know, even, like I said, I don't know if she means to do this on purpose just with her art style. It's just, that story probably would seem a lot more visceral if a different artist, you know, had done it. But again, I tend to enjoy the story a lot more because of Amanda Conner's art. And it kind of, you know, it's not that gut punch. It's more like, you know, shot to the shoulder. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's pretty much the only Painkiller Jane comic that I've ever really enjoyed was the one Amanda Conner did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I definitely got to get the Amanda Conner run. Well, maybe I'll put it on my Christmas list or something. I'm sorry, I kind of got caught in the headlights when you asked me, like, what's my favorite moment. I'm like, wow, it's been so long that I couldn't think of anything.
You're like, son of a bitch.
All I remember is, like, all of her, like, subtlety, and that's what I always think of when I think of the Power Girl run.
Scrambled eggs, anyone? That just looks so wrong. Like, if you didn't know, you know, like, I know who that character is. You Fing guys probably... That's Egg Foo.
Okay, that's right. Fing Fang Foom is something else. It's the dragon from Iron Man.
Iron Man. But yeah, okay,
they're both the Chinese-related villains.
Yeah. What I'm just saying is, like, you see this image from Wonder Woman and Power Girl team up. You know, with Amanda Conner doing the art, and if you didn't know, that's Egg Foo, who's like this evil Chinese supervillain who's like this giant talking egg. If you didn't know that, you would assume that they just pulped some poor monster's face and then melted cheese came out of the wound from looking at the art. But I mean, again, it's, if you don't know that, it would seem like more hardcore, but now it's just kind of like, oh, Egg Foo, you're just like Humpty Dumpty.
Yep. And the big thing to remember is, you know, the best artists are the ones that tell the story with the art versus I'm going to draw exactly what the script says, and that means I get paid, and to hell with the story, to hell with the characters.
That's kind of like when Crossover Lord was starting, and like I was just getting into like the expressionism phase, and like, and a lot of other people, they would just write like swaths of dialogue, and I'd always like put the proverbial red line through it. I'm like, no, I can get through this without all this explaino language. It's just,
yeah,
it just, I don't understand why more people, I don't know, they just can't do that. But
well, they think too much.
Yeah,
they let other things get in the way. I mean, there's a whole lot you can say about artists that can say a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually really funny. It explains why Power Girl doesn't have to wear a mask.
Yeah. Eyes up here. I like the fact that of all the busty superheroines in comics, Power Girl is the only one that never seems to really take that much offense when guys stare. Although, and I can't remember if it was during the Amanda Connor run or not, but I remember there's this one panel where Power Girl, like, she's kind of in tears explaining why there's the boob window.
No, that wasn't Amanda Connor's run. That was a previous run. It's okay. Really stupid too. Because she was coming up with a symbol, and she couldn't come up with a symbol, so she decided to leave it blank.
I don't know. I always kind of like that explanation.
I think it sort of cheapens it, you know? Mm-hmm. Because
I was never into explaining things like that.
Yeah, I think of it as she's proud of her body. She's showing it off.
Yeah. My explanation is always because she likes it.
Yes. Ah, but are you putting your... No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, that was an argument that me and another person had, and it was really, really obnoxious that person did that.
Yes. No, the thing is, I think that I go with she's proud of herself, and that's why. Because, you know, if you try to put any other explanation to it, you sort of come up with, like, you sort of create these psychological issues for your characters that sort of makes them not fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? Why can't we have fun? Let's have fun again.
Everyone seems to be afraid to have fun.
Okay.
Which is another reason why I personally like her art, is because it's fun.
Right. Yes.
Like I said, with the Painkiller Jane, the pro thing, you know, like, I wouldn't have enjoyed those stories as much without her art, because... Not that it softens the blow is probably the wrong expression, but, you know, it made it more enjoyable.
Absolutely. Because here it is, she's telling the story with the art versus, you know, I'm just drawing what the script says. So I think it's the most important part of the storytelling. And that's really sort of lost nowadays.
Right.
And there was this funny moment. It was this artist moment. During the whole Power Girl run, where Ultra Humanite's threatening to cut her brain out, and he says, "Now to remove the least used part of your body," and Power Girl's under this really heavy machinery that's holding her down, and because she's like locked down and can't say anything. Amanda Connor just draws her rolling her eyes, like, "Oh, like I haven't heard that before."
Mm-hmm. Again, it's like the stuff that you just insert in your own mind that's not actually on the page, and that's like that's what that talent can do.
Yes. Because everyone's worried so much about, you know, drawing what's on the page versus drawing what's the character doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really the difference between like someone who does a storyboard and someone who just writes a script.
Yes.
And scripts are, you know, scripts are fine, but like you really need to insert the personality if you're going to be converting that into a comic. And
yes,
kind of, it's I can't say it's the same reason why, but it's similar to the reason why a lot of 80s cartoons are kind of blah, because you know, it's all written on a typewriter or in a word processor, and then it gets to the animation and there's like no personality there.
Yes. Absolutely. And I just put an anime GIF on the post that I think JT just saw.
Yeah. That's... No, these are not my eyes. But I was always told to look at people right in the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing is that I love the way she draws the clothing, because if you look at the very subtle wrinkling. Yes. Again, this is me being a pervert, but it's like she just knows how to use the wrinkling to her advantage, I'll just say.
Yes.
Because it's always there to kind of accentuate the curves and the slight chubbing of the anatomy. You know, I'm talking both in terms of muscle and in terms of you know, the way her body parts kind of getting, this is going to sound terrible, but you know, the way her hips kind of flare out and boobs.
Keep digging.
Yep. It's just going to get worse. I should probably just stop. But yeah. That's something I kind of copy a little, you know, just kind of throw in that little bit of wrinkle there. And just so it kind of gives the illusion of volume, I'll say.
Yes. So while there is such a thing as a perfected way to do expressions, it's really nice to see lots of artists sort of taking lessons from Amanda Connor and you know, up and coming artists using that style. I think Neil knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
Do you, Neil?
A certain artist.
That draws lots of Power Girl, that seems to try to embody the expression.
I'm
not quite perfect yet, but pretty good. DeviantArt?
I know who you're talking about now. Almy Poe?
Yes.
I just remembered one of my favorite Call Me Poe, Supergirl.
Power Girl?
No, Supergirl. You know what my favorite Power Girl image that Call Me Poe has done, Ben?
Naughty Nurse?
Damn right. Because who doesn't love the Naughty Nurse?
At least you didn't say Soviet Power Girl.
Nope.
Hello, nurse.
Still, it's a nice one. I mean, the thing is you look at it and you see that, you know, obviously Amanda Connor is, you know, if you compare the two artists together, Amanda Connor is the far better artist. But you also see that, you know, Call Me Poe is like drawing, you know, from what Amanda Connor does.
Right.
I mean, I say this now, and I imagine a week later he's going to email me and say, hey, I've never heard of Amanda Connor.
No, I don't think he's going to say that.
Okay, I'm making a joke.
Still.
Probably email you a picture of his shrine to her.
But you can definitely see, you know, there is some lessons from Amanda Connor in that art.
That was definitely there.
Here's one. It's you can, you know, it's not quite as, the wrinkles aren't quite as numerous, but you do see some hint of it there.
They don't have to be numerous. They just have to accentuate the volume, give the illusion of volume, and that is a perfect example of what I was talking about.
There we go. And like I said, lots of artists, you know, when they do it right, you know. They do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how much else we can really add to this, other than, you know, if you haven't checked out the Power Girl run, you probably should check it out. And
even if you have, you should check it out again.
Yes. And anyways, this is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
And TV's Mr. Neil.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.
Farewell.